I'm Eric Peterson, your host of Crime Stoppers in Action. The local Great Falls Cascade County Crime Stoppers program began in 1985. It's run by a volunteer board of directors made up of local citizens, and the program is coordinated by members of the Cascade County Sheriff's Office and Great Falls Police Department. This nonprofit organization and the rewards it provides tipsters are funded entirely by contributions from community members, and no tax dollars go to support this program. For more information on the local Crime Stoppers program, please visit the official City of Great Falls public website at greatfallsmt.net/police/crime-stoppers-0. Today, our Crime Stoppers in Action program features an interview with Ellen Scanlon, the Executive Director of the Transition Center in Great Falls. His program offers community-based correctional and treatment programs for offenders. So, Ellen, could you please provide a brief background of your experience and education?
I graduated from the University of Great Falls with a bachelor's degree in human services. That was 1995, so I was in the very first University of Great Falls graduating class. So it was College of Great Falls, then it became University of Great Falls, and now, of course, University of Providence.
So when did you decide you wanted to work in the criminal justice career field?
Boy, good question, and I don't know that I ever did. After I graduated college, I became the administrator of the Great Falls Children's Receiving Home, and that's a temporary home for abused, neglected, and abandoned children. I did that for about 5.5 years, and then I noticed the pre-release center was looking for a director of treatment services, and I didn't know what it was. I was scared to death coming in here. I thought I was just surrounded by murderers, and this is just like a prison. And of course, it was farthest from the truth, but I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. But this past July was my 20th anniversary here, so I've been here a while, and I think this will probably be it for me.
Could you provide a history of the Great Falls Transition Center? Has it always been located here?
Yes, sir. We've always been here. We started in 1984. We just had state mail residents. And then we expanded this facility, and then we built the Women's Center in the 90s. And then down the end of the road, we have our East Campus that was built, oh, probably about 11 or 12 years ago now. So we have three different buildings. Usually we have around 200 residents. We have male, female, mostly state residents. We have some federal residents, and then we have a veterans program.
What exactly is the mission and the goals of your organization?
You know, our mission statement or our slogan is a chance for change. And I've always found most corporate slogans to be kind of corny. But this one's really good. And this was started long before me, so I'm not taking credit for it. But I really think a chance for change sums up what we do here very well. Pre-release center started when we started in 1984. It was for people coming out of prison and making that transition to living back in the community. So on TV or in movies in most parts of the country, they probably call us halfway houses. But we're also called transition centers or reentry centers. So you help people make that transition from being incarcerated to living into the community. Part of the tricky part, though, is most of our residents really don't want that. They'd rather be here than prison. However, we make them take a lot of classes. We make them pay restitution, clean their room, go to work. And a lot of the things they don't really want. So we're kind of working with people. We're trying to change their thinking to set them up for success. But, you know, that's sometimes what we're trying to get them to do is not what they've done for the last 20 years. And they can tend to fight us a little bit.
Do other cities in Montana have similar programs established?
Yes, sir. Billings has male and female pre-release center. Helena is male only. I believe Missoula and Butte are both male and female, and then there's a male only in Bozeman.
So what sources of funding are available to help pay for your operation and staffing the center?
We have two main customers. We contract with the Montana Department of Corrections, and that's for all of our state residents, And as I mentioned, we also have federal residents, so we contract with the Federal Bureau of Prisons.
What type of criminal offenders are placed here at the center?
I'd be willing to estimate that, oh my gosh, 90-something percent are, they're either here directly on drug charges or their offense had something very similar to do with drugs. We found most of our issuing bad checks or theft or even burglary were largely done to support a drug habit.
How does an individual get approved for placement here?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. If someone is in prison and they are approved by the parole board, they can apply to go to a pre-release center. Most of our referrals these days come through the Department of Corrections. So if somebody gets sentenced for a felony, they might go to the Missoula Assessment and Sanction Center. And while there, they'll get an assessment, they'll get a physical, they'll get a mental health evaluation. And then the Department of Corrections will help determine where it's the best placement for that person. Then if it's pre-release, the person gets to pick which center they want to start at first. That's their only one choice is where they want to start. But if it comes to Great Falls, I have a 5-member, we call it a screening committee. There's a staff member, there's a member from the public, and for that I use someone on my board of directors. Then I have somebody from Great Falls Police Department, Cascade County Sheriff's Office, and Great Falls Probation and Parole. So all 5 people review the file, and everyone gets an equal vote, and a majority rules if the person's accepted or denied.
I spent a few minutes out in your lobby. It looked pretty busy. What's a typical day in the life of a resident here at the center?
Well, you know, for some of them, it can be really busy, and depending on time of year as well. Let me back up. When a person first gets here, they'll go through an orientation process, and then we'll give them some assessments to help determine their needs. We offer an awful lot of educational groups here, better money management, coping with anger, victim impact, parenting with love and logic. We have a whole bunch of others. We have a mental health person here on staff. Most residents are involved in some form of chemical dependency or substance use disorder treatment. So a resident has to work if they're here full time. So they'll work, they'll take our classes, pay their restitution, pay their fines, and then save up money for release. And then also while you're here, you'll have a daily chore you'll complete. So maybe you're vacuuming the hallway, or if you get the short straw, you're working scrubbing pots and pans. So folks can be pretty busy, but then in their spare time, as you move up through our phase system, you get passes, you get to go out and be with your family or your friends. And as you're towards the end of the program, we have 12 and even 24-hour passes. So folks can be pretty busy. Some really like that. Others appear to want to lay around and not be terribly busy. And those are the ones we have a bit more issue with trying to motivate them.
Do you work closely with local employers to place your residents in jobs?
We do. That's a really good question. We don't talk about who the employers are very often because, frankly, a lot of employers don't want people to know. There's a lot of very good employers in town who are big supporters and they believe in giving people a chance. But I can say on the flip side, I learned this with COVID. When COVID first hit and so many people were not working, and people remember when people were being paid to not work, there were so many businesses in town who relied on pre-release center residents because all of our residents continued to work, and they continued to work full time. And we had numerous business owners tell us, if it wasn't for you and the pre-release center, I would have been out of business because they couldn't get any employees. So our residents during that difficult time here in Great Falls and Cascade County, they really stepped up and did a great job for a lot of employers here in town.
Are there any incentives for employers to hire residents from the transition center?
There's a lot of them. Our residents have to go to work. If a pre-release center resident doesn't go to work as scheduled, that's a write-up here at the center. So for example, if it's a nice sunny day and in the past, maybe my residents would have called in sick and not gone to work because they want to go fishing that day. Well, you can't do that here. So pre-release center residents tend to be very dependable, early. They don't call in sick. So I think they're some of the best employees that an employer can have here in town.
You must have some great success stories about some of your residents who've transitioned out of the program that you might be able to share.
Well, you know, there's one I'd like to share. I'm not going to use her name, but we had a resident here. She She was here twice, and she was in on drug charges. So she had a pretty serious chemical dependency problem. And after she got out of our program the second time, she went to school, became a licensed addiction counselor, and she's now working at an inpatient treatment facility here in Montana. So she's not only turned her life around, both for her and for her daughter, but now every day she's helping people. And yeah, she's really kind of my shining star at the moment. The bad part about a job like this is you don't often hear the success stories. If people complete your program and never get in trouble again, well, you never hear from them. It's the folks who then get arrested again and come back. You see them. We get folks 3, 4, or 5 times. But the success stories are, it's not that they're few and far between. It's just that they don't ever come to our attention. But it's very gratifying when we do hear about one of the good ones.
What type of treatment programs does the Transition Center provide to its residents?
Well, the various groups that we offer, I think, meet most residents' needs. Victim Impact is really one of the best ones, and that's where we bring in a panel of outsiders who talk to our residents and say, look, when you committed that crime, this is how it impacted me and impacted my family. I think that's one of our best. A lot of our residents, as I mentioned earlier, they're in need of chemical dependency programming. So we have 2 licensed addiction counselors here on the center grounds to work with people. Our various other classes really help people make that transition from being incarcerated to living in the community. Some of the things that our residents struggle with, you and I don't think of. For example, if you've been in prison for, let's say, 5 or 10 years, you know, cell phones are a lot different today. Or maybe if you were in prison a long time, you never had a cell phone. Or you come into a place like Great Falls, maybe you were in a small town, you've never ridden a bus before. Even things like tying a tie. Our male residents, we require them to wear a tie when they go out job searching. There's many of them who've never once in their life worn a tie. And so things that other people take for granted, our residents have lived a different lifestyle, and these are not things they take for granted. They're brand new experiences for them. And so while for us it might seem like it's a really minor thing, for them it can be a pretty major obstacle.
Let's say a resident doesn't have their high school education completed. Is there an opportunity for someone to possibly get a general education diploma here?
Yes, sir. We have a full-time education coordinator. He's a licensed teacher here in Montana. We also work very closely with Great Falls College, MSU, and the Lifelong Learning Program. Tammy Hickey and her staff up there are just absolutely wonderful. So we have an awful large number of people who've gotten... back then it was the GED, now it's the high set. We help folks get that. We have folks who have, we have a CNA program. Folks have completed that. Some have even gone into college. I will share one thing with you. One of our education coordinators a few years back, he got a cap and gown from one of the schools. And when our residents got their GED or their high set, he'd ask them if they wanted to get their picture taken. And he said that initially they would say no. And you know, some of our residents are pretty tough. You know, they've probably been in gangs and, you know, pretty hardcore people, and they'd say no. Well, then they'd give in and they'd get their picture taken. And then the education coordinator at the time said, you know, these guys, they're crying. Said, and they ask for 10 copies of the picture because now they want to send it to their mom and their grandmother and their aunt and all these things that they weren't expecting when they were saying, no. But they've accomplished something so big, and it's nice to see that they take pride in their accomplishment, and I'm sure their family does as well. So we give them all the pictures they want.
Do you have programs specifically for military veterans who may be residents here?
We do. We've even established our own veterans program. So we have a vet wing. We've established this program, and we work with the Department of Corrections. So folks who have been in the military, and then they end up in the criminal justice system, they can apply for the Great Falls Pre-Release Center program. We house the vets together. They take separate classes that deal with veteran issues, largely PTSD. We work very closely with the Vet Center here in town and also the VA. So it's a really effective program, and it's tailor-made specifically for the veterans.
Maybe you can speak to some of the challenges you face as the director here.
Well, probably like most people over the last few years, employment is kind of tough. We've been fully staffed over the last couple of years once or twice, and it seemed like it lasts for an hour. So a lot of places in town are scrambling to hire people. So that's an obstacle. The population of our residents has changed over the years. When we first started way back in the 80s, all of our residents came to us from prison. Well, now we have a waiting list of about 200 names on it, and only 15% of them are coming from prison. And the big change that way is that when folks come to a pre-release center from a prison, they're grateful to be here because this is a whole lot better than being in prison. They tend to be more appreciative. They work with staff better. Again, because compared to where they just were, this is much better. Now that 85% of my residents are not coming from a place of incarceration, they were home the day before they came here. So now this is not an upgrade for them. Now they're mad to be here. They're resentful, and they can take it out on staff a little bit more than in the old days when they were much more grateful to be here.
What is the most rewarding aspect of your career here at the center?
Well, you know, I guess there's two things. You know, the success stories are what keep us all going. As I mentioned earlier, my degree is in human services, so I wanted to help people. And this is a different way of helping people. I know I'm helping people, but like I said, after somebody works all day, they don't want to take a parenting class, and so they're mad at me because I make them go to class. But I know that's what's best for them and what's best for their children and their families. So that part's a little tough. But the success stories really keep you going here, and they kind of refuel your desire. But, you know, the other thing that I've taken a lot of pride in over the last few years is watching our staff grow. We are huge believers in promoting from within. So there's a lot of folks that have started as part-time, and now they're a full-time case manager. They've gone to school. They've graduated from college, or even the folks that leave us. There's people who get their start here, and then they go on to be a federal probation officer or a state probation officer. Some folks get their start here, and then they become a police officer or a sheriff's deputy. So I take great pride in that. Maybe we've played just a really small part, but when people go on and accomplish great things, I like to think we've played a part.
How many folks do you have working here at the center?
Well, we should have about 70. I think today maybe we're at about 68. So we have a few openings for a compliance officer, but hopefully we can get back to fully staffed. But yeah, right about 70 is a good number for us.
What are some of the benefits society may see for individuals who successfully completed your program?
Boy, you know, that's probably how I should have answered your first question when you asked about how, you know, what we do here. I'll just give you a perfect example. If somebody comes to a pre-release center, they'll usually do that with their last 6 months to go in their sentence. So they'll take all the classes we want them to take. They'll work. They'll pay restitution, child support. They'll learn how to pay their bills. They'll clean their room, save their money. If somebody does the program correctly at the end of 6 months, they will have been on the job for close to 6 months, and for many of them, that's the longest they've ever held a job. They will have found a church, AA meetings, or NA, Narcotics Anonymous meetings that they like in town. They will have set up a place to live, and they will have left us now with between $8,000 and $12,000. If you contrast that with someone who stays in prison until their very last day, let's say somebody's in Deer Lodge today, it's their last day, you get up, you pack up your stuff, they give you $100, they call it gate money, and they drive you into Butte, and then out of your $100, you buy a bus ticket back to Great Falls. So you're coming back to Great Falls on the bus with whatever's left of your gate money, and most of them blow it on cigarettes and cheeseburgers, and all of your belongings in a bag. The people who come back that way, I think, are a much less chance of success than the people who go through our program. That not only benefits the person, but also the community as well, because people who do the reentry program that we offer here are much less likely to commit new offenses.
What's the future hold for the center here in Great Falls?
Well, here in Cascade County, of course, they passed the safety levy not too long ago, and they're putting together a pretrial supervision program. So we've been formulating one here at the Great Falls Pre-Release Center. I don't know what the process will be, if they'll put out requests for proposal. So I don't know if the Great Falls Pre-Release Center will get the pretrial program, but if we do offer that to the Cascade County, I think that would be wonderful. That'll help reduce jail overcrowding and, you know, much more expensive placements. folks staying in jail because they can't post bond. We can do a good job at supervising a lot of those folks and make sure they attend all their court hearings. As far as how things go here down at the East Campus, our newest building, we do have two floors that we can finish. Right now they're just kind of roughed in, but we can expand if the Montana Department of Corrections has a need. So again, with prison overcrowding has been an issue for a few years now. And if the Department of Corrections looks at expanding community placements, I think we can offer a good service to the Department of Corrections.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. Is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't discussed?
The Great Falls Pre-Release Center has been here. We'll have our 40th anniversary here in next year. And we've changed with the times and because we have to. But we really offer two services. I think most people know about the people coming from prison. You know, they know about the inmates that are here or the convicts. And some people might not take a good look at the pre-release center doing that. But I think the other thing that I'd like folks to know is the other part of what we do is to help hold people accountable. Since the prisons are overcrowded and the jails are overcrowded, a lot of people are placed in the pre-release center because that's the only consequence for their actions. So they can come here for 6 months, or if this wasn't an option, they would probably just stay home and receive no consequences. So we're offering a good service also to the taxpayers that it's so much cheaper to be in a pre-release center than it is to be in a prison or a county jail. Because while they're here, they're still being supervised. Folks have probably seen our vans drive all over town. We check up on people when they're at work, when they're out in the community. Residents get constant drug tests and alcohol testing. So we're also doing a good job with community safety. And I think that's the part I should probably tout a little bit more, because I think most people don't realize that we do that, and we do it very well.
You've been listening to an interview with Alan Scanlon, the executive director of the Transition Center in Great Falls. If you'd like to learn more about the local Crime Stoppers program, please visit the official City of Great Falls public website at greatfallsmt.net/police/crime-stoppers-0. This is Eric Peterson, your host of KGPR's Crime Stoppers in Action.